Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, we continue our journey through the book of Romans in our series, Nothing Will. And today's teaching is entitled, The Inheritance. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and powerful message from God. Enjoy and be blessed.
Amazing journey so far. Romans is an interesting book. I'll share with you that when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he never visited the church at Rome. So he was not writing to deal with some issue or some problem in the church, but he was simply writing to expound upon the word of God and to expound upon the heart of God and the kingdom of God. And it is perhaps one of the best, most sound theological books you're going to find when it comes to just scriptural and what word teaches, especially about grace and about faith. So Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And stay with me. This could be a very challenging text to comprehend, but it's really quite simple. Paul said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, praise God. I'm excited today to continue again the series I've been doing from Romans. And the title of the message today is The Inheritance. We're going to talk about the inheritance. We're going to talk about, as Paul expounded upon in these verses, those things that we as humans inherit in this world. Excuse me. We not only want to talk about what we inherit, but also we want to talk about how to live out that inheritance. I want to give you some definitions of the word inheritance before I get into this message this morning. Inheritance is defined as something that is passed on or passed down at one's death to those who are entitled to receive it. And that inheritance may be a legacy, or that inheritance may be something physical like money or property. Inheritance is also defined as genetic characters that are transmitted from parents to their offspring. In other words, there are things that we inherit from our parents genetically. The Greek word that is translated inheritance means to endure one's habits or to suffer the manner of, to endure one's habits or to suffer the manner of. And in this passage of scripture, Paul writes about two inheritances that have been passed down to man. Two inheritances. The first is what we inherited from Adam, our father in the flesh. From Adam, we inherited sin. Everyone say, not good. Not good. I mean, not good, right? From Adam, we inherited rebellion. Not good. From Adam, we inherited death. Really not good. Sin that causes us to violate God's word was inherited from Adam. Rebellion against the holiness of God was inherited from Adam. And both that sin and rebellion brings death, which is simply separation from God and from his love. The second inheritance is what we receive from Jesus. From him we inherit righteousness. Amen? From Jesus we inherit submission to God's holiness and submission to God's will. And from him we inherit the right to a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. From Jesus, we inherit the promise of God's blessings and the promise of eternal life. But when it comes to those two inheritances, you must choose. Well, actually not. Let me clarify that. One, you don't have a choice in. The inheritance that comes from Adam, you don't have a choice in. You're going to get that, or you got that whether you want it or not. Okay? Every man, every woman born inherited what Adam passed down. But you do have a choice about the other, and that is what you can inherit from Jesus. But it's not just making the right choice. It is also making the right choice to live according to that inheritance. The way we live out eternity was set from the very beginning, or the fact that we are eternal beings was established from the very beginning. We were created by God to live forever. And Adam's sin didn't change the reality of that eternal existence. You will live forever somewhere. Because created by God to be eternal beings. But the way we live out that eternity was greatly altered from God's original plan by Adam. And God's original plan was for us to live in a state of continual relationship with him. I want you to think about a moment where you felt so connected to God. How did that feel? Wonderful. Wonderful. Because you were created to be in that relationship. And when you're in a place where you do not allow anything to sever that relationship or to separate you from being in that place with God, everything in you says, this feels right. Amen? But what about those times when you don't feel God's presence? Everything about you says this doesn't feel right. This feels all wrong. You know why? Because it is. Because you were created by God to have continual relationship with him. So Jesus was sent by God to undo what Adam passed down. He was sent by God to bring us to where we exist in a way that God will have us live, and we live in the way that God will have us exist. Jesus came to give us what God desired for us to have as an inheritance. In Romans 5, verse 1, in the Message Bible says this, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, that is, set us right with him and make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. I love that scripture. And the way it is put in the Message Bible, it is becoming one of my favorite scriptures. To think that what God has always desired for me was to make things right and to make me fit for him. To make me into the person that he would have me be in the relationship that he's called me to be in with him. I can't make that happen, church. Neither can you. But by faith, you can receive it as being already done through Jesus. God accomplished both of those things. He made us right. He set us right, and he made us fit for him through the man Jesus Christ. And Revelation 13:8 tells us that Jesus was God's Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So I want you to get this. Before Adam was ever created, God had a plan. What was his plan? His plan was to redeem a fallen man. Now think about this. Although God knew that Adam was going to sin, he created us anyway. That's love. That's love. And let's say Adam did not mess it up. More than likely you would have. So from the very beginning, from the very foundations of the world, God said, the Godhead, they had this meeting, and they concluded they was going to create man in his image and in his likeness. They also said, but man's going to blow it. The very first man we put down there, he's going to blow it. He's going to mess it up. But God said, let's create him anyway. Jesus said, Father, when they blow it, I'll go and make it right. From the very foundation of the world, he was slain. It was done. It was a sealed deal by God. We have two inheritances that we can live under. Either that which we inherit from Adam or that which we inherit from Jesus. What inheritance or which inheritance are you living out? What does your life consist of? The things of death passed down from Adam or the things of life that are passed down from Jesus? Through the first Adam, we entered into death because of sin. But through the second Adam, we find life. We find life. Sin and death came into the human race via the first Adam. Therefore, every man was born into sin. But righteousness and life was made available through the second Adam, Jesus. Therefore, every man can be made righteous in the sight of God. Listen, there is no excuse for anyone to not be righteous or be in right standing with God. Because God's made a way for every man. And that way is Jesus. Who is that way? Jesus. But listen, God deems us righteous not because of our deeds, our good deeds, not because we're able to keep all of the law, most of the law, or even some of the law. But God deems us righteous when we believe in and we accept the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what makes us righteous. As we've journeyed through Romans, we saw in the previous chapters that Paul argued that keeping the law does not bring salvation, But salvation only comes through faith in Jesus. That's what he has vehemently argued and set forth up to this point. You will not find salvation in keeping the law. It only comes one way, and that's through the man Jesus Christ. But in these verses, Paul, he expounds on that argument, or he extends that argument into another realm. When he begins to state, and he tells us here, that breaking the law is not what brings death. We do not. It is not breaking the law that brings death to us, according to what Paul argued in these verses. He states in Romans 5, verses 13 and 14, that during the time preceding the giving of the law, people died. So they died before the law was even given. So death could not come because of the law. His argument is they died because all humanity was counted guilty by way of Adam's sin, not because they transgressed the law, because we are of Adam. Are you still with me? Death is the result of Adam's sin and the sins we commit. Now, I want to be real careful to not lay this whole thing on Adam. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Blame Adam. I'm the way I am because of Adam. So let's not put this whole thing on Adam, okay? You got something to do with this as well. Because like I said, even if Adam had not sinned, guess what? You would have. So all Adam did was beat you to the punch. So let's not put this whole thing on Adam. What about you? What about you? We're talking about the inheritance. Which inheritance are you living under? Are you living under that which you inherit from Adam, your father in the flesh? Are living under that which you inherit from Jesus, the one who came to redeem you? Are you living under the curse inherited from Adam, or the blessing that comes by way of Jesus? There is no in between but either one or the other. Blessing or cursing. Life or death. Peace or turmoil. This is what you get from whichever one you choose. Hope or despair, or by not making the choice. Hope or despair. A life with God's presence and power, or a life without God's presence and power. The promise of eternal salvation, or the certainty of eternal damnation. The choice is yours to make. Take your pick. Take your pick. Now, bridge between the fall of Adam and the coming of Jesus was the man Moses, who was given the law by God. God gave Moses rules that told how he expected man to live. And Moses understood, even in his day, that individuals must choose what they was going to inherit. He looked forward to the coming of Jesus. But by faith, listen to me, by faith, he was just as much in Jesus as you are. He lived before Jesus came, but by faith, he was just as much in Jesus as you are. But he understood that the individuals must choose what they was going to inherit. Would it be life that comes from Jesus, or will it be death that comes by way of Adam? In Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 and 16, Moses said, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. That's what God wants for you. He said in Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death. I'll set before you blessing and cursing. He said, therefore, choose life. He tell you what to choose. I'm telling you today, choose life. Stop letting death rule over you. Stop letting the ways of death rule your life. Stop letting the ways of Adam dictate who you are. But you got to be who God made you to be in Christ Jesus. And it's not, listen, it's not in, I want to be careful how I say this. You not only want to be in Jesus, you not only want to choose that inheritance, but you also must choose to live out that inheritance. What are you saying, Pastor? Tell you what I'm saying. Some people want to be in God and live like the devil. Come on, help me now. If you help me, I'm gonna be done in a minute, and then you, this pressure will be off of you. You gotta help me now. Some people want to be in there. I'm in God. But they don't live for him. Please don't fool yourself. Please don't fool yourself. Moses said, choose life that you may love the Lord your God. Love him. That you may obey his voice. That you may cling to him. Listen, for he is your life. He is the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land of promise. That's what God wants for you. God spoke through Moses then what he's speaking to us today. Take your pick. Choose what you want life to consist of. Sin and death inherited from Adam or righteousness and life that is inherited from Jesus. We can trade our sin that was passed down from Adam for God's righteousness that we receive from Jesus. Take your pick. You choose. God offers us an opportunity to live as part of his spiritual family. A family line that begins with us receiving forgiveness for what Adam did and for the fact that we're born into that. And that forgiveness leads to eternal life. That's the choice. If we do nothing, we have death inherited from Adam. But if we come to God by faith, we have life through Jesus. Which family line do you best represent? The lineage of Adam or the lineage of Jesus? I implore you today, choose life. If you don't hear me say nothing else, hear this. Choose life. Choose to let life work in you. Stop letting death work in your members, control your life. Stop letting sin master you. Get rid of that heart of rebellion and allow the Lord to clothe you in his righteousness. In his handbook, Pastor Jack Hayford wrote this about today's text. He said, we gain death through Adam's sin, but eternal life through Christ's obedience. This passage of scripture, theologians puzzled over in an attempt to understand the origin of sin and spiritual death. The basic part of Paul's analogy is clear. All human beings have been affected by Adam's first act of sin, which brought spiritual death to all. But now, all humanity is affected by Christ's act of obedience, which makes it possible for God to justify sinful individuals. Adam is the first member of a lost race, bringing mankind under condemnation. Jesus is the first member of a saved race, bringing forgiveness and release from the judgment merited by each person's sins. In other words, Jesus came to undo what Adam did and to put man back in right standing with God. Will you say amen to that? Romans 5, verses 12 through 14 from the Message Bible says, now you know the story. This is how the Message Bible puts these verses. You know the story of how Adam landed us into the dilemma we're in. How did he do it? First sin, then death. And no one is exempt from either sin or death. That sin disturbed relations with God and everything and everyone. But the extent of the disturbance was not clear until God spelled it out in detail to Moses. So death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape from Adam to Moses. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did by disobeying a specific command still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. But Adam, who got us into this, also points ahead to the one who would get us out of this. So Adam pointed ahead to even the coming of Jesus. When Adam sinned, his transgressions and the penalty thereof was passed down to every person born into this world. In like manner, though, everyone who trusts in Jesus is rescued from the mess that Adam created. And he created a mess. Did he not? But we have our own mess. We need to be rescued from both. His mess as well as my mess. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world and brought death. Death that was passed down to everyone for everyone's sin because we were all in Adam. You got to get this. Adam's sin became our inheritance. In the flesh. You didn't have a choice. You inherited the nature of Adam. You inherited the nature of sin. When Adam sinned, what he did was passed down to the entire human race. No one was excluded from it. But when a person is in Christ, when someone by faith believes and accepts God's plan of redemption, that person receives a different type of inheritance. A different type of inheritance. You receive an inheritance that not only delivers you from what Adam passed down, but also an inheritance that brings you into the life that God first intended for you to have in the beginning. We were created by God to live forever. Listen. And to rule over his creation. You were created by God to rule. This is such a foreign concept to so many of you, I can tell, because there's just this blank stare. Either you never heard it or you don't believe it. I want you to both hear it and believe it. God created you to rule. God gave you dominion. God gave you authority. God gave you power. He gave it to Adam, and Adam gave it away. But guess what? Jesus came and took it all back. Amen? And because he took it all back, we can now have that. After the fall, God could not allow man to live forever in his fallen state. Remember what he did? He put Adam out of the garden, Adam and Eve. And he put a cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life. Why? Because God did not want man to live forever in that state. You know what that tells me? To tell me if Adam had somehow snuck by and got that fruit from the tree of life and eaten of it, he'd live forever in that mess, in that mess, in that mess. But God did not want man to live in that way. But also, please hear this. When Adam sinned, God could no longer trust man to rule as he was created to rule. When Adam disobeyed the terms of God's rule, he failed. And he experienced the loss of his dominion. And when that happened, everything under Adam's delegated realm came under a curse. Because the relationship that Adam had with God, who was the fountainhead of Adam's authority, had been severed. And God does not want man ruling his creation in man's ability. It must be done under the unction and the anointing and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because when you try to lead under your own ability and based on what you want, you will mess some stuff up. How many of you know that? We'll mess some stuff up. I thank God that I'm not God. And I thank God that you're not God. We'll mess some stuff up. But what God does is say, okay, I'm going to take you and I'm going to give you my spirit. And my spirit is going to impart to you my mind and my heart and my ways. And so now, as you rule and reign over my creation, you're not doing it out of your own effort, but I'm really doing it through you. I'm doing it through you. God trusts that. That's why we must be given to the Holy Spirit. Given to the Holy Spirit. Let him rule. Let him reign. Let him be Lord. I love, listen, I know I worship, most of them have gone, you know, our worship team, what they do is they do both of our services. We've told them at the end of the worship of the second service, you guys have been on, you can leave. So thank them for me. I so appreciate, I appreciate the way they allowed the Lord to order their steps this morning and how they flowed from one thing to another. Listen, we didn't have any of that orchestrated. That was not in our notes to do. It was the Spirit of God in our team learning how to follow God's Spirit. And as they followed God's Spirit, and as Melissa began to sing out what God had put on her heart, it took us into one place. Then over here, here's Leslie, little meek Leslie. She began to just sing out and speak out and encourage you to thank the Lord. And she's so meek and she's mild. Then there's Mike over there on the saxophone. He began to blow under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a place that we did not plan to go through what we had orchestrated. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So when you allow God when you receive what God has for you and you put yourself under the inheritance that flows from Jesus, then God looks down and he says, I can trust you now. I can trust you to do what I want done. Because it's not about you. See, what these guys have come to understand is, Kenny, thank you. When you're up here, it's not about you. It's about what God wants to do for these people that have come into this place to meet with him. And I've told our worship team, I said, you know what? As leaders, we should have one focus. And that is to create an environment that allows people to connect with God. Ooh, Jesus, if we can do that, that's success. I can't make you connect. I can't make you receive what God has for you. But if I create the environment, I've done my part. And when we're led by the Spirit, that's exactly what God will do. And in that, as a worship team, you're exercising dominion over God's people. You get that? Do you get that? That's why, listen, we don't take for granted what we do up here. I don't take for granted what I do up here. Because I know every time I stand up here, I'm exercising dominion over you. And God's going to hold me accountable for what I say, for what I do, for who I will listen to, for whose voice I follow. He's going to hold me accountable. I don't take this for granted. I want to live under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I want to receive the inheritances that come from Jesus. I no longer want to live by what I inherited from Adam. I don't want that. Because I want to be trusted by God as someone whom can exercise proper dominion over his creation. And let me tell you, you are the most prized of God's creation. The most prized. That's why James instructs us. He says, let not many of you be teachers, because those who are teachers will receive a stricter judgment. God's going to hold me. God's going to hold you, Angela, and anyone else who's up here before God, his people, Josh and Angel, he's going to hold you to a level of accountability that he's not going to hold other people to. That's why I encourage you, if you're not up here, to pray for us who are. Because God ain't playing. You hear me? God's not playing because he loves you too much. And he don't want people playing with you. And he don't want people playing over you. And he don't want people just filling you with a bunch of junk. But he wants you to receive those things that come from him and him alone. So pray for us. All men by way of life, by way of Adam, lost the life power that is essential to ruling in God's kingdom. But what we lost through Adam we've been given back and even more through Jesus. You see, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. We have God living in our hearts. He's in us. Through Jesus, we have been given back the power, been given back the dominion, the right to rule God's creation. The first Adam took these things away through his sin, but the second Adam came and restored them back. And because of Jesus, we can now rule, or we now rule as kings and priests of God. The first Adam served a perfect relationship with God, but the second Adam connected us back to our Heavenly Father. If death was passed down through the man Adam, how much more has life been passed down through the man Jesus? On the one hand, one act of one man brought sin and its penalty of death upon the entire human race. But on the other hand, the obedience of the man Jesus counteracted Adam's deed and made righteousness and eternal life available to all people. Through Adam, who was the head of the old humanity characterized by sin and death, we inherited sin and death. But through Jesus, who heads up a new humanity that is characterized by righteousness and life, we inherit righteousness and life. Because of the flesh, we come under the consequences of Adam's deed by natural descent. But by the Spirit of God, we come under Christ's obedience by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Now, there's some who think it's unfair to be declared guilty for something that Adam did thousands of years ago. Some who feel it isn't right for God to judge me because Adam sinned. Yet those same people, they confirm their allegiance and their solidarity to Adam by their own sins. And listen, church, as I close, this is a fact. We're made of the same stuff that Adam was made of. And we're prone to rebel against God and sin just like Adam did. And because we are as Adam was, and we're prone to do what Adam did, it's not fairness that we need from God. It's mercy. It's mercy. It's grace. I thank the Lord he was not fair to me. Do you get that? Do you get that? I thank God. I don't need him to be fair with me. I need him to be merciful towards me. I need his mercy and his grace. I don't need God to be fair. Because if God be fair, I'm in a mess. I'm in a hurt. I'm hurting. I'm in a bad way. But thank God he's not fair. He's merciful. He's gracious. Thank God he doesn't give me what I deserve. But he gives me what I can have because of the man Jesus. I don't need for God to be fair, and neither do you. We need for God to be merciful. We need for God to be gracious to us. Paul concludes this particular text with these words in verses 19 through 21. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He said, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Thank you, Jesus. Where sin abounded, Adam's sin abounded. But God's grace was greater than Adam's sin. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to summarize this by comparing one fact between the two representative heads of man, Adam and Jesus. One fact, brother. One fact changes the game. Adam sinned once. Everyone say once. How many times? Once. Adam sinned once, and all whom he represented were found guilty because of that one sin. But Christ obeyed. Say it again. What? But Christ obeyed God his entire life. It was not a one-time thing. Adam sinned once. Jesus obeyed God his entire life. And when God looks at what Adam did and what Jesus did, he say, this is greater. And because this is greater, we now have life because of Jesus. Two inheritances, that which comes from Adam and that which comes from Jesus. Choose you today what inheritance will be yours, but also choose you today to live according to that inheritance. Where sin abound, grace, God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor, sister, is available to you. And all you got to do, all we have to do, is by faith receive it.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.